Blog Talk Radio.
It is what it is.
Peace, 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 family. Welcome back for another week. This is Collective Minds Radio. This is your host, Brother Kev, with my other hosts, Love Lachey and Mufasa Ra. Y'all in the building, what's up? Hello? Hello? Can anybody hear me? We on. All right, well, I guess I'm going to continue rolling. Let me know if y'all can hear me out there. Hello?
Yeah, I hear you.
Oh, okay, all right. Love Lachey, what's going on?
Hey.
How was the week?
Oh, everything was pretty good. Everything was pretty good. You know,
okay,
just busy.
Okay.
Paying for everything.
Okay, all right. Yeah, it has been a busy week. So, yeah, we go, this is Collective Minds, y'all. We back to deal with the family. And do we got any announcements before we get started? Love Lachey?
I don't have any announcements this week.
Okay, good, yeah. I don't have too many either. Just, you know, some things going on in the city. The protest has been still going strong, you know, based on the Stockley verdict. The police officer that was acquitted of murdering Anthony Lamar Smith. So the protest still been going strong. They've been, you know, shutting down a few malls and been downtown protesting every night. You know what I mean? So salute to those brothers and sisters for, you know, doing their thing. And everybody else out there, you know, grassroots out there doing their thing as far as.
All right, Brother Kevin. What happened with the situation in the mall with the elder?
Oh, okay. From my understanding, it was they did like a mass arrest at the Galleria Mall here in St. Louis. And it was the elder lady and her grandson, I believe, that ended up getting arrested. And, you know, basically it was police brutality for real, because they rushed her 13-year-old grandson, and he was crying, and she went in to help. And, you know, from what I've seen, it was just a big mess.
Now, did
you know
if they were part of the protest or not?
Now, that I don't know. I'm not 100% sure. But based on the video I seen, it just looked like police was grabbing random folks, whoever they felt like grabbing at the time. You know, they was just grabbing them and putting them in handcuffs and arresting them. So I'm not sure if they was part of the protest or not. You know, so I can't really speak on that. But yeah, and I haven't heard anything late as far as, you know, have they been released or, you know, what's going on with that. So, you know, hopefully, you know, if anybody listening out there, you can call in and let us know what's going on. But, yeah, that was just all I heard on that part.
Wow.
So, yeah. But anything else?
Now, have you heard any updates about the other case with the Somalian officer who shot and killed the Caucasian lady? I forgot what state that was in.
Yeah, right. That was in Minnesota, and no, I haven't heard anything on that case. So yeah, haven't been updated on that. I'm not sure. I don't know if he's been charged or. You know, he's still out. They're trying to figure out what happened. So, yeah, I'm not sure on that one. Maybe we get some updates and fill everybody in next week. Yeah, but, yeah, this week we got a we got a doozy, y'all, because, I mean, there's been a lot going on with the President of the United States. Mr. Trump has been going in the past couple weeks. So, you know, we want to discuss that and, you know, talk to the family and see what y'all think. Basically, I just read the synopsis for the show. Trump has been in office less than 1 year, and we witness investigations to Trump firing key members of his staff. He's defended white supremacists in Charlottesville. And, you know, his latest stunt, he called the NFL players that take a knee SOBs. So we want to ask, you know, we want to ask y'all tonight is, are Americans united against Trump, or are we more divided now that Trump is in office? So we just want to throw that question out there and let everybody chime in. And also, we do want to mention his latest stunt as far as the last hurricane that hit Puerto Rico. I mean, his tweets and him going back and forth with the mayor, well, not even going back and forth, but him attacking the mayor of Puerto Rico and saying they always looking for handouts. You know, he was putting out tweets that they owe money to Wall Street and this is why they're not getting aid and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Just really in a time of need when you think, you know, you think of a hurricane, these people, you know, are without power, they're without water. And this man is still, you know, basically calling them lazy. You know what I mean? Huh?
No, I was saying, and this man is basically the president.
Right, as the president, yeah. Exactly, as the president, he's, you know, he's basically talking about these people in a time of need. Like, who does that? Like, that just shows to me the type of character that, you know, that this man has, that he's, you know, not sending aid or not doing everything he can to help the people of Puerto Rico at a time like this. So that's his latest stunt. You know what I mean? I just found that pretty interesting how they are, quote unquote, getting the Katrina treatment in Puerto Rico. So it's just been a lot going on. This first year has been a lot going on. You know, if we could recap the beginning of the year, there's been a lot of talk about the Russian scandal and Russian involvement in the elections. So that was going on. He fired FBI Director, I believe, James Comey, which was, you know, almost unprecedented for him to let, you know, fire somebody like that in the midst of Russian investigations. You know what I mean? You know, his chief of staff is gone, Steve Bannon. He's fired him, but make no mistake, the Steve Bannon is still, you know, has influence and power in the White House, even though he's just not the, you know, the current chief of staff. But, you know, I believe he still has, you know, power and influence in that. So you got that. Then you got North Korea. At the same time, you know, we've been having an issue. Well, he's been having an issue going back and forth with the North Korea president. So it's been a lot going on in this first presidency. I know a lot of people was making wagers whether he was going to last to the end of the year. And from where it looks now, it looks like he, you know, probably will ride this presidency out at least to the end of the year. So, you know, that's where we at right now. Love Lachey, let me ask you this. You still there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, I mean, what do you think? Do you think we are united against Trump, or are we more divided at this point?
Well, it seems to me that there's definitely a shift. It's hard to determine how much of it is unity and how much of it is division. But I think we have an effect on both sides. Unity, some people and some aspects will, you know, for some reasons, they may have become united a little bit more against him, because I know a lot of, I think he disappointed a lot of people that actually voted for him. So I see it's more of some sort of a shift that should be acknowledged, but as far as the Trump, Donald Trump uniting the country, to a degree, I reckon, you know, and creating more of a division, definitely to a degree to both, you know, so I think it's just to both. I think he's doing both. It's just how, you know, how you want to look at it and what you're actually judging. Because there were a lot of people that didn't want him to be the president, and there were some people that did vote for him. But, like, I do think that some people have been disappointed with him and have began to kind of see what other people were saying about why he shouldn't be president. So in that sense...
Right, right.
In that sense, it's, you know, you see that unity there. Just the unity of an agreement of something. They're not unifying to become one. They, and unity, from what I see in this question, is that the unity is that they have agreed upon something. But they,
right,
but
right.
We still have a division upon, you know, when it comes to just races, you know, different race, and when you want to section it off to different cultures and things like that, we still have division.
Exactly.
Well, that's how
this is
it.
True.
Yeah, they still.
Right, this
not,
is true.
It's
yeah,
not unifying
yeah.
us like the main goal that we're trying to reach. It's just more so that they just came to an agreement on one thing, meaning that whatever their opinion is about Trump, you know, would be.
Right, right. And that's what kills me. Like, yeah, the people that kills me, though, the people that actually voted for Trump, you know, some of them are doing, you know, they're doing an about face, like we shouldn't have made that vote. But it's like Trump has been the same throughout this whole campaign. I mean, like through his whole campaign up to now that he's the president, I think he's been pretty much the same. You know, he's told you how he's felt about the Mexicans, about blacks, about women, about whoever. You know what I'm saying? He's basically letting you know, he lets you know where he stands on the campaign trail. So for you to vote for him and then he starts to continue to talk this way and now you act shocked, you know, that's just kind of crazy to me. You know what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying? It was even some cases of people who actually voted for this man, and they started to get deported once, you know, he started passing them immigration bills and signing these executive orders on immigration and all this stuff. Their family started getting deported. You know what I mean? And then they want to cry and boo-hoo after they done voted for him. Like,
mm-hmm.
come on, y'all. But, you know, that just goes to show to me that, you know, they in support of white supremacy and racism, because that's basically all that Trump is standing on. Like, that's his whole agenda. You know what I'm saying? Basically, that's his whole agenda. So, you know, some of these people want to get a pass and want to be, you know, quote unquote, on a white team. So, yeah, we'll vote for Trump. But Trump is against all non-white races, you know what I'm saying? So
mm-hmm.
he don't care, you know, he don't care, like, if you Mexican or Cuban or whatever and you light it. No, he's giving it to everybody at this point, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I just found that interesting how they can vote for him, but then they act shocked. Like, Trump is pretty much doing pretty much what everybody should expect it, you know what I mean? Like, we can act shocked. But he's doing, or trying to do anyway, and acting like everybody expected. You know what I mean? Because you got to think about it. This man, you got to think about it. This man, he was born rich, basically. His father had a little money illegally, you know what I mean? So after you get so much money to where money's not an object no more, the next thing you want is power. You know what I mean? Because the presidency, we know, based on public record, only pay about $280,000, $290,000 a year. You know what I mean? Trump is used to playing with millions, close to billions of dollars. You know what I'm saying? So it's not. Mm-hmm. So he's basically just wielding power. He's like a little kid with a big sword trying to wield it. You know what I'm saying? He's knocking over stuff, and you know what I'm saying? Which the sword would represent the power, but he's like a spoiled kid that has this big sword that he can't control, and you know he's wielding this power. Knocking over stuff, hitting folks, not caring what's going on. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's basically where he at. Like, he's had the money, and now he's just playing with power. And unfortunately, he has the greatest military behind him. So, and that's crazy. You know what I'm saying? Because all he got to do, you know what I'm saying? That's crazy because all he got to do is make the call or do whatever, and folks are going to be going to war on behalf of this man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Folks are really going to be putting their lives on the line on behalf of this man. But, I mean, you know, people, I mean, they've been doing it. I mean, you know, we've been going to war since we've, basically since the 1900s. It's been like a war every year. So that's what America's been about. Yeah, that's what America's been about. But when you get somebody like Donald Trump in there, it gets a little more dangerous. I mean, in my opinion, I think it gets a little more dangerous. Because he have powers and, you know, executive orders that, you know, we have no idea about, you know what I mean, which are granted to every president. So, I don't know.
Yeah. That's why you have to be careful. That's why people have to really be able to understand themselves, because you know, power is like you say, it's very dangerous. And for a person like Trump to have any type of power,
right.
Now he himself is not organized enough. His self isn't organized enough to be able to handle such a power. You know, he's like a ticking time bomb. And people have to be careful when you're dealing with something or somebody with that type of power. It definitely, just like the post say, with great power comes great responsibility. And if you're not responsible, it's like he can destroy this, you know, this world just with his one little thing.
Right, yeah. Facts. He could do a lot of damage. And
he's like
if you trip off his tweets though, he's like a kid. Like, you know, he says things and he's quick on the draw. You know, a temper. He can't take criticism. You know what I mean? Anytime you criticize him, he's good at deflecting. And, see, he outright lies sometimes. Like, that's what it was all about. This whole campaign, he was lying. Like,
yeah.
He told so many lies on the campaign trail. It was just crazy. So, yeah, it's just interesting how, like I say, how he has this power and, you know, the type of character he's shown, you know, in the last few years is crazy. So, but I tend to think, yeah. No, what was you going to say?
No, I'm just going to just basically reiterate how shocked, I'm still shocked that this man is even president. I'm shocked that he even was allowed to even run for this position. I just cannot believe it got this far. I really cannot believe it got this far.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, I think so. And I'm with you too. I didn't think he was going to win, I'm going to be honest, early on. As we got closer, I still didn't think he was going to win. I'm like, there's no way they're going to let him win this presidency. And sure enough, because I didn't even watch the election. Like, you know, I would usually do just keep up on it and see what's going on. I went to sleep early and woke up and there it was. So it's pretty interesting, right? So, I mean, as far as the question, I think basically I think the country's been divided. You know what I'm saying? Remember we did the show on Obama. You can check out in the archives. We did the show on Obama entitled, what was it about? Let's say, you know.
Obama presidency. Improve race relations. Hurt race relations.
Right. I hurt race relations. So my stance is kind of still the same as far as bringing us together. I don't think so. Because when I listen to people and the way they talk and look at stuff online, which there's a lot of trolling that goes on online, I know. But, you know, a lot of the sentiments pretty much say that, you know, we're still divided, like you say, among the quote-unquote racial lines. Like, that's not going nowhere. You know what I mean? So it's crazy. So what Trump is doing, actually, Trump is just magnifying those particular feelings that we have, you know what I mean, towards each other, that people have towards each other. He's just magnifying it and putting it out in the open. Now, when Obama was in office, they still was there. Don't get it twisted, but it kind of looked a little better. Because the president was a little more smoother and he wasn't, you know, adding fire to his base, you know, adding fuel to the base by tweeting some things, you know, or supporting the white supremacists in Charlottesville. Like Obama wasn't, he was a pretty neutral president. He kind of, you know, he was like neutral left, quote unquote. He kind of leaned to the left, but he was a very neutral president. But then when you get Trump, it's like he's on the extreme. You know what I'm saying? He's like far right, as they call it. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it's pretty, he's far right. So that adds fuel to the flames because the racial tension always been there. You know, I could just look at, you know, throughout my lifetime, it's always been there. It kind of flows up and down as far as the attention that it gets. It kind of, you know, goes up and down as far as how much attention they want to give, but it's always been a racial divide in this country. Like, we've never solved the problem of racism, white supremacy. You know what I mean? And now white supremacy is being in the forefront. Like, I've never heard it so much on the news than in the last month or two, you know what I'm saying? Wouldn't nobody even speak the name, you know, a year ago. You know, if you just said in the mainstream news a year ago, white supremacy, they'd be like, huh? No, there's no such thing. What are you talking about? You know what I mean? Like 2-3 years ago, like, white supremacy? No, that's old. That's neo-Nazis and all that, no. So now Trump has put it back in the forefront. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, and you know me, Tanya, I've been talking about it for at least 4 or 5 years. that's been like every post, even when Obama was in office. I'm like, still, this is our main problem. Like, until we solve that, we go keep running in circles. Like, we have to We have to solve that problem in order, and then we can work on everything else. Not saying it's going to be the cure-all, but, you know, if you can start with that biggest problem, then you can work your way down. And in my opinion, I think that's the biggest problem. So when you get somebody in there like Trump that exposes it, I actually like that. Like, I prefer to know what's going on and who's the white supremacist and how they feel or not. You know what I'm saying? Because these situations that happen, like as far as the shootings and any type of racial incidents, that lets us know who's who and what's what. You know what I'm saying? Depending on what side of the fence you stand on, like, it lets us know who's who and what's what, because people start to display their true feelings. And then it just, you know, everything gets polarized. So I actually like that, because you can identify, you know, who's who. I prefer that, because I think in order to get people focused on the problem, we're going to have to put it out there, and it's going to have to be blatant in your face. You know what I'm saying? It's going to have to be in your face in order to see, because they do a good job of masking it and keeping the illusion going. But when it's right in your face, you really can't deny it. So I kind of like Trump in that aspect, because he's exposing a lot of the white supremacists. The line drawn in the sand, he's making it wider. Like, he's making people pick sides. Like, you really got to pick sides. Like, you already know if someone supports Trump, what list they on. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you may can do business with that person, but you still going to know at the end of the day, this person is a suspected white supremacist, flat out. Like, you just already know. For whatever reason, like, they may try to say, of course they go deny it. Nobody's going to admit to that. And they may say, well, it's for this reason, it's for this, it's for that. But you know at the end of the day what Trump is about and what he's standing on. You know what I'm saying? So any Trump supporter or voter, you already know what you're dealing with. Boom. So I think that's good. Like, let me know. You know what I'm saying? So it's going to be interesting, but I'm going to put this out there too, and this may sound crazy. I think he's going to win in 2020. Four more years. Watch what I tell you.
Yeah, I said that when he won. I said he got it for the next two terms. I can see that happening. I won't be surprised at all.
Yeah,
I can easily see that happen, because first off, the problem, like I may sound like a broken record, but the problem is us within. It's what we like. We enjoy the drama. That's why the reality TV shows are popping, because Trump bringing more confusion.
He's a reality show president.
Right, exactly. You know, and people like, you know, unfortunately, you got people that like that type of passion. You got people that like that type of adrenaline and that type of energy, just something always going on, something always going down, you know, and you can easily see him winning again. People love it, you know. It's just that now they don't like maybe certain things that he may say if it has some sort of direct or indirect message or effect towards them. They may not like it, you know, of course, and it just make them get a little mad. But overall, they like him because it's more chaotic. Less discipline, less structure, those types of things. It's almost like a kid being able to go over their friend's house who ain't got no structure. That's how it is with him being president. It's chaotic. You can do any awesome thing now. You know, and support the police officers, everybody running rapid. So I can see it. You know, it's unfortunate. He's feeding everybody's ego. He's allowing everybody's ego to uprise. You know, this is, to me, is a whole nother camp. This is a campaign where he's bringing awareness to hatred. People can talk about it. They can be more, you know, have a little more behavior that shows how, you know, how you have a dislike for somebody. It makes them feel free. They feel like they can take, you know, they can be themselves. They can let it all hang out.
Right, you know? Right. Yep. That's a good point. He is magnifying the American people's ego.
Yes.
Like you said, and people get to voice their true feelings and opinions and stick their chests out and stand on. Basically, he's enabling the white supremacists to be loud and bold and stick their chests out and say how they feel. You know? And like I said, I, for one, can appreciate that. Like, let me know what it is. Like, I don't want to be, you know, confused about what's going on or how it's going down. Like, let me know. So that way we can prepare. You know what I mean?
Right.
You
and don't look at yourself. And that's not you per se, Brother Kevin, because I know your perspective is different. But if anybody else is listening, don't be upset about it. You know, it's like I said before, you use the good as a stepping stone, and you also use the bad as a stepping stone. Don't look at it as a good or bad thing. Things happen. You use them as stepping stones and keep pushing. Because, like you say, it's good to know. Knowing, even if, like I tell my kids sometimes, even a no is always bad. So even if he out here doing this and doing that, and think, you know, it's like you it's good to know. So it's good in a sense, like you say, that he's creating these issues and these uproars, so that way we can see. It's almost like, you know, putting the light on something. If you got a boarded up house, somebody just knocking the boards off every window, and the light's just shining in, bam, bam.
Mm-hmm.
And we need that exposure. You know, things need to be exposed. Things need to be talked about.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's where I'm coming from. So, you know, with each crisis, there's an opportunity. You know what I'm saying? So, and I look at his presidency as a crisis.
Exactly.
But, you know, it's a great opportunity, you know, for us to, you know, to get it together. You know what I mean? For black people to get it together. And I think this is actually going to be good. I hate it. Would have to come to him being a president for us to see, you know, how we need to work together and work with each other. But, you know, sometimes it be like that. You know what I mean? Because he's definitely exposing folks. But again, I want to, like, what he's doing to Puerto Rico is really sad, for real. Like,
yeah, you can't what you expect, you know. It's like,
I know
this guy needs to wear a diaper, you know. It's like, what do you expect his behavior? You know, he's not doing anything that, you know, his temperament and his attitude, his mindset, all those things. I'm not surprised by the things that he do. Because of his character, you know, he just, you know, he's off the chain, you know. He don't have any boundaries and stuff when it comes to, you know, how he behaves, how he treats people. He don't. It's all about him. You know, it's all about him.
He's
interacting with you, about him. Let's see if we want to take a caller while we, let's see, it's 6:30.
Okay.
Take a call and get some more opinions and feedback. Caller 316.
Let's do it.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello, caller.
Peace, caller. Thanks for calling in. We hear you.
Hey, okay. I just tuned into the show, so I'm kind of missing a little bit. What exactly is going on right now?
Well, yeah, we was talking about Trump and how basically he is just a rogue administration and he's taking over this position of power, but he has the mentality of a kid, you know, by his temper and what he tweets, and he's enabling the white supremacists to kind of stick their chest out and be more open and vocal. So we just asking, like, do you think he's dividing the country more, or are we actually uniting against Trump as a country? We just asked that.
I want to say, first of all, I'm actually beginning to enjoy what he's doing from a perspective that it opens you up to let you know that you have an open enemy. And I know we still have people that want to march and pray, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm not here to tell you yay or nay, but, you know, I'm hoping that this thing will bring about a situation where we can go back to where we were in the 60s prior to the Civil Rights Movement. Because what we have to understand is why we have a group of people uniting and saying, hey, you know what, we're going to set aside our differences for a minute because we understand that this thing is real. We also have a group of people being distracted by it. We're rapping gas shot and, you know, we out here partying and popping bottles, taking all these stupid challenges. The only challenge that we need to be taking is to empower ourselves economically and unite.
Right.
You know, as far as Trump's actions, you know, I think that he was the best selection because if we know anything about presidents, he's best selected, not elected. He was the best selection for white supremacy because he represents, you know, the poor folks in the trailer because his mouth is just unapologetically racist, but he also represents the power structure in America as far as, you know, the so-called rich white man. So, you know, everything he's doing, I'm sitting back enjoying it. You know, I understand that a lot of it is propaganda, but it's how you react to what he's doing. Are you getting frustrated? Are you allowing your emotions to go over? Or are you sitting back taking the time out to think? And one of the things that, even though this doesn't directly talk about Trump, one of the things that I was saying a little while back is, you know, now since a lot of black people have committed to not watching football, why are we not taking this day out of our week to organize? What's wrong with going up to the local, you know, rec centers and that same 8 to 10 hours that you spend wasted watching football, take this time out to organize the people and figure out what's going to be the safest and most effective method to bring ourselves out of this thing. Because the protesting, what I don't like about it is, you know, it leaves our women and children to get harmed. And it leaves us to get arrested. And, you know, if we are getting arrested, being reactionary to what the white supremacy power structure is doing, then that takes food, money, and time out of our family's pockets.
That is true. That is correct, Paula. Definitely. Yeah, you made Paula, some good points.
Do you think it's uniting the country? Is Trump uniting the country or dividing the country? What you think?
Now, when you're saying unite, my unification is for black people. I'm not interested in uniting with no East Indians or nobody else. I'm interested in uniting with our people. I think that other ethnicities that are not white are starting to catch the backlash we've been catching for the past 500 years. So, you know, while you have some, you know, Hispanic and Latinos that have given themselves white privilege, they're starting to see the backlash that, hey, you were only used as a puppet for our agenda. Now, let them unite amongst themselves. But at this point, we can't afford to unite with anybody else but ourselves because we have been the catalyst to free everybody else from the European Jew to even the people that are in power now. So at this point, our people must be unapologetically black, and we have to unite ourselves and organize ourselves and let other groups of people, whether they be Hispanic, you know, identify themselves as a homosexual community or whatever, let them solve their own problems. But we need to solve our own problems first before we can even help anybody else.
Indeed.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you for bringing the people together.
Was to a certain extent. You know, I think that the most powerful people in our community have to get out of their religious ideology, and that's the church. You know, the church wants to pray for these people, but we have to be clear that this stuff is not working. We've been praying for 500 years. I think that if these pastors come out of the pulpit and confront the problem of white supremacy, then we can begin to get out of our situation. But I think that,
right,
that religion has been used as a coping mechanism to help us comfort our oppression.
Right.
That's what I look at. That's how I look at it. I mean, you know, here it is, you know, Minister Farrakhan, he can call a million people together to organize for a million-man march and, you know, reparations or else. Well, we're past the reparations part. We're on the or else part. What is that going to be, you know? But
right,
I really,
yeah,
think that our strongest opportunity will be found in the church and the other religious institutions, because that's what most people have found them comfort zone in. Because outside of the Beyoncés and Jay-Z's, I think that the pastors are the most influential people in our community, hands down.
All right. That's a good point.
I can kind of see where you're going with it, as far as the church is concerned. I do think it was, I think a lot of it, though, is due to people just not having full understanding of what church and religion is, and I think that it probably do cause them to stray off and kind of, you know, be in that position that you're saying, you know, your theory is, and I can see that. I just think that it's a way to be able to balance church and religion and still do things order.
It's all about design too.
I have no problem with the person making subscriptions to a certain belief or living by certain customs, but see, if my religion is teaching me to pray and forgive my enemy, but simultaneously it's working to the advantage of my enemy, then that's religion I need to get myself up out of. Or I need to say, you know what, I'm going to continue on with these, you know, certain customs, but when it comes to that part where I'm going to allow somebody to embark their or impose their will upon me, that's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
So that part, of the religion, where we're trying to unite with people and forget those people that are oppressing us, we got to get up out of that. If it helps you, but the forgiving and allowing people to superimpose their will upon you, that has to stop.
But see, and now I think we were going to do a topic about forgiveness at one point, and we have not. But for me, Kamal Al and my brother Kevin, we had this discussion before. Forgiveness. Now, it's okay for me to forgive if you have actually changed. I would recommend to myself, my children, or anybody else to keep constantly forgiving somebody that keeps doing the same thing over again. Because you've forgiven them for it, they haven't changed. You only forgive a person they change, you know. So I can
The question that I would then ask you is, what has changed for us with our religion? How has the church and the mosque and the synagogues, how have they empowered us economically? Because at the end of the day, this thing is an economical challenge. It's not about who knows the most surahs or scriptures. It's about who can finance things. How can you, you know, protect your family? How can you, you know, take care of your kids? That kind of thing. And what I'm seeing is that religion has become a department for us where money is going in, but it's not coming back. Yeah, we, you know, they do a lot of stuff as far as helping people, but how is it empowering the community? And if it did, just like the Black Panthers, just like the Nation of Islam and other organizations, the government would have dismantled it a long time ago.
Right, and I think I agree, I do think that is a problem. But I think that problem starts from the individual who holds that power. It's like, what is that individual's, like, what is their true intent? What do they really want out of this that they're not using the power right? Because I do agree it should go back to and so that way
the right. But this is the thing we got to remember though, the church and the black community is part basically a government agent. Number one, they get no taxes, 501(c). They part of the system, yeah, definitely, by paying no taxes, and then you get the 501, you get the status of a nonprofit. And with the, when Bush came in and did that faith-based initiative thing, that just really put the church in the government hands, and basically the government can use the church to keep the flock confused and keep them docile,
and
like the caller said, keep them weak and loving your enemy and forgiving and doing all this, because they're actually part of the whole government program to keep to keep black folks subdued. You know what I mean? So that we got to look at that aspect too. You know, because they say if your church is not talking about solving the problem of racism and white supremacy, what are you talking about every Sunday? You know what I'm saying? Like, we need to get to the nitty gritty. You need to be focused on economics and solving the problem of racism and white supremacy. Like, those two issues should be, at the forefront of the black community.
I'm gonna say this before I close, to kind of piggyback on what our brother Kev is saying, is when it comes to economic empowerment, if religion was the answer, we have to ask ourselves, what are they doing to solve the problem that one out of every four black men are graduating from high school? What are they doing to solve the health crisis, the crime crisis? I mean, I noticed that. You know, every neighborhood that has the most religious institutions simultaneously have the highest rate of police brutality, criminal activity going on, liquor stores, that kind of thing. So at some point, as a religious institution, I have to look at myself and say, man, why is it that when I go out to Creed Court or Town and Country or certain suburban areas around the world, I don't see a mosque and a temple on every corner? But then in my neighborhood where I stay at, I can't walk to the store without having somebody hand me a track or a final call or something. And if we believe in this device, this mechanism, this power, this entity, this being to deliver us, why is it that these institutions that we go to also where our problem is? So we got to look at that. That's all I'm saying.
Indeed, no doubt. Right on, caller. Thanks for the call.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for hearing me, guys.
No doubt. Yeah. We appreciate it. Yes,
all right.
Sir. Yeah. Yep, peace. Yeah, he made some good points, and not to get too far off topic, I think he hit the nail on the head as far as, black people coming together more under this administration. You know what I mean? Like, that really should be our number one focus. So, like he was saying, it's definitely opportunity. So is he uniting the country? Now, when you say the country, you're talking about all peoples involved. And I think I stated on the Obama show, I don't think the country's ever been united, post-racial at any time. You know what I'm saying? I don't think we've been united. I think it's been a divided states of America for a long time. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think we've ever been actually united on that tip. Now, as far as black people becoming more united, I'm hoping and I'm thinking that we are starting to see, kind of what's going on and the traps and all the things they do to sabotage, our efforts to live a better life. I'm hoping we're starting to recognize, the games that they play. Like, as Trump make it more evident, we can kind of see with some new glasses, what's going on. We could do our Googles. We could put our goggles on or whatever.
Well,
so we can kind of see what's going on.
Okay, let me ask you this. Okay, say, for instance, everybody became aware. They became woke. and they see what's going on, and the black community united and everything, how does that change the system that we still have to, that we're still governed by? What would be the next plan to, I mean, like, what's the next step in having it all together, man? How does that change the system?
Well, from my understanding, once we get on a code, that's why I be stressing the code. Once we get on code, it'll start to change because, number one, we'll start to work with each other more. Number two, we'll start to trust each other. You know, number three, we'll circulate our money with each other. We'll start to build, you know, we'll start to take these, take the resources and start to build. So, you know, and things like this don't just happen all at once. Like I'm saying, like it's waves and a process of how, you know, human evolution evolves. But from where I see it and my understanding is, like I say, we'll start to build resources. So it'll start with, you know, a school, which we do have a lot of people doing independent schools. So that's one thing. The next level of the game is like, you know, grocery stores within our neighborhood, grocery stores, hospitals, you know, and things like that. So therefore, we will have options to only hire and work with each other. You know what I'm saying? Like, that should be a valuable option. Like, I should have options to go to black businesses and black banks and black, you know, corporations to look for a job, right? Like, that would be part of the equality, being able to be hired and function in an all or mostly black environment. You know what I mean? Mostly melanoid environment where we are controlling industries and, say, a black car manufacturer or, you know, anything, just controlling certain type of industries to where we can have a self-sustaining economy within the economy. You know what I mean? If that makes sense. But, you know, people talk about land, which would be good.
You think the white supremacists would try to stop that in some kind of way?
Yes,
they
are. Oh, definitely. Yes, they would definitely try to sabotage that, and that's just based on history. Because we know, you know, if we notice, like, we having a hard time, you know, just making strides on schools and stuff like that. So, yeah, they would definitely try, but that comes with us knowing what they're going to try to do as far as, you know, they may rewrite a law.
You say what?
Yeah, no, I was saying they may, like, you know, do all types of things to try to sabotage, like, rewrite a law or, you know, direct violence or whatever they may try to do, but we got to know that would come. And a lot of things, you know, we're going to have to fight for, you know what I'm saying? Like, because that's the name of the game, is the resources. Like, if they really wanted to even or level the playing field, you know, they just come with their resources.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can just come with the resources, because we know the issues. Like, everybody try to talk about what's wrong with the community. We need more police, the violence, the crime, all this and that. But we know the solutions. Like, it's the resources, and they don't want to come up off those resources. You know what I'm saying? Because that's even a playing field. No matter what people say, they may get a dollar back to the system and do this and that. Irregardless of that, that's still where the rubber meets the road, is the resources. We don't have the economic power to make real moves and make real change. You know what I'm saying? So that's, I guess, to answer your question in a nutshell, it would just be because in a modern society, we're going to have to interact and deal with each other. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can have a community where it's mostly black and you know, holding it down, you're working with, you have a black business. But, of course, you're going to have to serve everybody. You know what I mean? You're going to have to, you know, you're going to have to work with people and be cordial and, you know, different races or whatever. But when you work with other people, you working with them on your terms and you understand where home is. You know what I'm saying? You understand that it's black first. Like, that ain't against nobody else, but it's just black first. It's melanated first, period. I'd rather work with a melanated person as opposed to somebody else if, you know, if I got the option. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of how you think they may do, or black people, bad business, bad, or all that other type of stuff, and, you know, stuff we got to get rid of as well, as far as negative stereotypes we have with each other. You know what I'm saying? I, you know, people complain about black businesses or whatever, but it's a lot of businesses that do bad business. Like, at the end of the day, you still have to be patient with your people and understand, you know, the level of trauma that we've been through, you know, these past few hundred years. So I just see more of a cohesive unit as far as a code. You know what I mean? Living next to each other, just in the communities where we at, we're helping each other and building them up and not waiting on other folks to come and gentrify them. You know what I'm saying? So I kind of see that. But, again, we got to recognize the traps they set. And we got to get aware to the criminal justice system, which, you know, we're a major part of that. And we got to stop feeding our kids and family into the criminal justice system.
Let me also ask you this. It's part of the code. It's one of the codes that stress that we have to be willing to die for this, fight for this, all that.
Right.
The reason I ask that is because they would rather put us back in shackles before they give us a position in this world where they feel like they're like we're on top of them.
Right, that's
so
a fact.
They put, you know, and they'd rather see us in shackles and bring
that's
the whip.
That's a
so
fact. So
it will definitely have to come down to a do or die.
This is a fact, and I'm glad you asked that because yes, one of the codes is getting over your fear of death. Like, you know, what they've told us death is a lie. So we definitely got to get rid of that fear. Like, that's one of the first steps to actually becoming conscious, is getting over your fear of death. You know what I'm saying? That's one of the steps of being aware, being self-aware, knowing God, or quote-unquote knowing God, trusting God, believing in God. You have to get over the fear of death, period. Because like you said, at some point, yes, we're going to have to fight. Like, this is just what it is when we're dealing with what we're dealing with. You know what I mean? It's going to come down to it. But we got to be willing to, like you say, die.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, yeah. So, yeah, that's definitely a tenet because, like I say, we got to know we're dealing with. And then these next 3 years, we got three more years of this. He's going to show his hand more and more. And like I say, eventually it's going to get to direct violence where they're going to try to justify. Oh, yeah, we talked about that. He's coming back. 2020, what you think? 2020. Yeah, so you talk about potentially another 7 years, potentially. And like I say, he's going to look for reason. Like, because we live in a society we live in where everything is recorded and you can, you know, show video, they're going to look for a reason to justify harming a large number of folks. You dig what I'm saying? Whether it be a war with North Korea, whether it be a natural disaster, earthquake, tornado, something, but they're going to use it to try to justify a whole bunch of folks. Like, this is what I see coming down the pipe, so it doesn't look as blatant. But, yeah, they're trying to ethnically cleanse America. Make no mistake about it. And, you know, black people have been on the list for a long time, so now he just trying to get, you know, he getting other folks out the way. They feeling what we felt, like the caller said. You know, other groups are feeling what black people done felt here forever. You know what I'm saying? So it's going to get very interesting, but like Love Lachey, it is an opportunity. I think at the end of this mess, at least I'm hoping, you know, that we're going to come out better and stronger, you know, as a people, as a unit. You know what I mean? So we got Mufasa Ross. So what you think? Are black people more united with Trump, or are we still divided?
Definitely black people, I would say black people are not divided. And the ones that are on Trump's side, it's a few, and ain't that many. And I think eventually they're going to see the light. I think some of us just want to, you know, just want to be patriotic and want to get over. They want to get over the divisiveness. So they just go along with Trump. But they know he's full of it. They know he's talking, he crazy. But some of us just tired of the divisiveness. They just want to go ahead and try to move on. You know, like the Rodney King saying, can't we all just get along? They just want to get along.
Right. Yeah, that's a lot of us.
They don't want no problems. That's what I think. How can you be black and roll with this cat when you see with your own eyes how crazy he is?
Right.
He showed that he don't like, or I won't even say don't like, I just say don't care right now. He showed that he don't care about black people. So how can you just be so blind to still want to support this man? It don't make sense to me.
Right, like you say, they just don't want no problems. You know what I'm saying? But he kicking the coons to the curb, so it's gonna be like to a point where you're not gonna have a choice. You know what I'm saying? Like you're not gonna have
That's
a choice
I honestly,
to.
I don't think he will get reelected. Because he didn't show his true nature and how ignorant he. Some people thought he would just get in there and not be so ignorant, but he didn't just show you that he is. So a lot of these people that support him, they're not gonna fool with him on the second go around.
I don't know. I'd be surprised.
I think he's burning some bridges.
Nah, you'd be surprised because look what he can do.
You got to get the right candidate to go against them too. So,
and that's what it is. They got exactly. So it could be a number of things. And then too, if he start a war around that time with North Korea, he's gonna definitely get reelected. You know what I'm saying? He's gonna definitely get reelected.
I'm thinking if he start a real war with North Korea. I don't know if we're going to have time to be electing a new president. We're going to be trying to rebuild part of our country. If one of them bombs make it over here, he talking
right,
about just wiping North Korea off the map. Like North Korea can't get one off and hit somewhere on our border.
Right. And they could. Yeah, they could, but. And he would use that, but that would be a reason for him to stay in four more years. You know what I'm saying? That would be the reason. So it's going to definitely get interesting. Like I say, these next, we got three at least. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah, I know Michael is going to be reelected.
You say you think he will be?
I said my concern is that he'll be reelected. I would be concerned about him being reelected because I think he will be reelected.
Right.
So you think
be crazy.
He was going to be reelected?
Huh?
You say you think he will be?
Yeah, that's my that's my concern that he would be reelected.
Yeah, I can
easily see that going down.
I can see that.
The fact that he got in the first time is shocking enough. Well, I already know if he run again, I wouldn't be surprised if he's really elected again.
I still
can't believe that he even ran and won this time.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, sure, it's a clown show. I mean,
yeah,
Hillary didn't have nobody strong that really go again. I mean, Hillary had her own crazy crap going on, pissing folks off. So,
right, but she was as far as politicians, she was. I ain't gonna say she was the best candidate, but. Because either way it go, I think even if Hillary would have got in, I think the plans would have been in motion, but it would have been a little more covert. You know what I mean? Because Hillary is a liberal, quote unquote. So I think they would have masked a lot of the stuff that she would have put down.
Yeah, and she had Bernie Sanders. She would have won. And then again, maybe not, because the way they got Trump up in there, though, to me, it already speaks volumes to some slick stuff. And even if she had to have Bernie with her, right by her side, they still would have pulled the same stunt. Because technically, she did win popular votes anyway. So.
I don't trust none of it
anyway, y'all, to be honest. It's all
right.
Just a show. They already know who they're going to put in there. And they be manipulating people's minds and making stuff try to flow towards who they want in there anyway. They know they already going to put the person in there that they want in there. So I don't trust none of it.
Yeah, and I'm with you 100%. But yeah, I was saying, but now what they got Donald Trump in there is they can be more blatant with the agenda as opposed to, you know, if Hillary was in there, it would have just been a little more covert. They just wouldn't have put in the news, but she still would have been implementing the same plan. Like North Korea still would have been on the table. You know what I'm saying? Immigration would have still been on the table. All these issues, crime would have still been on, quote unquote, Chicago, and crime would have been on the table. You know what I'm saying? So they would have dealt with it probably a little more discreetly, but with Donald Trump, it's just open. Boom. We doing this. We doing that. We don't like you niggas. We don't like you Mexicans. You know what I mean?
You
just let me know.
Y'all may disagree with me, but because I could be wrong on this, but I'm gonna say how I've been thinking. Like when Obama was in office, all these police killings of unarmed black men just seem to just be coming out of nowhere, just random, just, you know, just popping up. And I can't say whether it was really just more so happening or was just being more put out there by the media. But, you know, since Trump is in office, how many, like, high-profile shootings have we had of an unarmed black person getting killed by a cop? Can y'all think of like two or three off the top of y'all head? You know, this year alone. And I ain't saying that they ain't happening. I'm just saying that you notice how we ain't hearing about it as much. But when Obama was in there, it was like almost to me like we gonna do this just because we don't like a black dude in office anyway. So we can't get to him. So we're going to just kill all these black people, as many black people as we can. You're saying the police? Yeah, the police.
Yeah,
I think they were so hateful, so angry, that they were so pissed off about black. Because, you know, really, they stupid, too. The police are dumb, too. They don't realize that we all just puppets. So they don't understand that the system put Obama in there.
Right,
they
right.
Just feel that all they know is it's a black dude in there. We can't get to him. So we just start killing these black folks. Because to me, the little man is not even dumb to the fact of what's going on with them planting these people in office. I've run across so many people that act like, I mean, they really be believing that we voting these people in, these presidents in. They be like,
right. They still want to believe. They still want to believe and hold on to the system. But I mean, all you got to do is pay attention, and you can see that these people obviously pick for these spots. You know what I mean? And they use a lot of dirty tactics to get in. You know what I'm saying? So, but yeah, I think it was pretty much what you said, like the last part. It was pretty much the media just manipulating the population by showing the police killings and making them high profile and putting a lot of attention on them, because these things, as we know by the numbers and just by living, that they've happened, you know, they happen all the time. Like, unarmed people get killed. They sweep it under the rug. They say something happened. They say he had a gun and put it in the paper, and then everybody move on. You know what I'm saying? So these things have been happening. It's just that when they choose to highlight it and get the people's emotions aroused and, you know, get everybody up in arms over.
That was really highlighting it while he was in there.
Yeah, exactly. They was highlighting, exactly. And that was part of the whole agenda. So now that Trump in office, even though it's still happening, they just not putting it out there like that. They not publicizing and keeping it going like that. So it's like you say, it's all part of the matrix and part of the plan. They put it out there to get you going, and they keep some sources away, you know, for other reasons. So I think it's more of that as opposed to
killing
because Obama was in office.
You guys don't think you have anything to do with the fact that now that Trump is in office, he's stirred up so much of the crap. You know, there's only so many news cameras that you can go through in the day. He got them all covered with this other foolishness where I guess at some point they have to prioritize and decide, okay, what are they going to show, what are they not going to show that is true. But with all the foolishness he's dealing with, you know, with the war and all that,
they pick and choose the hot story, what they fear that'll strum us, you know, get us all riled up.
Yeah, they pick and choose, because I be reading, you know, just on the newspaper, like I be reading a story, you know, of somebody getting shot or apprehended by the police or something, and it'd just be as simple as they'd just say he had a gun or he fired at police. Like, we don't know if this is actually true, but we just go along with it just because they just told a story and nobody made a big deal about it, so we just assume, yeah, okay, he shot at police. You know what I mean? And just little stuff like that, how they can manipulate stories and just tell their own version. That's why another big part of what you was asking, Tanya, as far as how does it look like, we need to have our own media as well, because media is propaganda. You know what I mean? And propaganda is warfare. So it's like the media is a big part, and when we don't tell our story, the media, as we see, does us in, you know, makes us out to be the criminals and tell their own narrative, which that's what they do. They try to act like they're fair and balanced, but we all know how it's slanted based on white supremacy, basically. You know, so we definitely got to get our own media. And shout out to Real STL News. I be seeing their page. They you know, they do a lot of coverage and be on the scene and on the street. So shout out to them guys over there at Real STL News.
Real STL News,
so,
they be everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, they be everywhere. Yeah, they be in a lot of places. So shout out to them, because that's big. You know, media is big. And, you know, I like the whole mainstream news is actually part of the government as well. Like the media is the fourth branch of government. You know what I'm saying? Like that's controlled by the government, whether the people know it or not. Like a lot of them anchors and news reporters, they be agents and CIA folks and all type of stuff. So it's definitely a part of the system. So depending on what they put out is what the people feed into, you know.
Or do you think and, put out what the people want to see?
No. It ain't what the people want to see. They put out how they want to manipulate the people. Like, we got to think about it. Our whole society is based on fear and fear, death, and money, resources. Like, these are like the main things in our society. Like, the news keeps you in fear, tells you about robbings, killings, you need locks, you need ADT, you know, you need all this stuff to keep yourself in, you got to get some guns. Like, we live in a society based on fear. And so to keep that agenda going, these are the stories that we hear about. So it's not necessarily what people want to hear. This whole society is socially engineered towards fear, death, and debt. You know what I mean? It's a fear, debt, and debt society. Death and debt, D-E-B-T. You know what I mean? So they put out stories to fit that narrative and fit that agenda. You know what I mean? To keep the people distracted, you know, like Love Lachey say, from that spiritual connection towards knowing thyself. You know, we got to keep you distracted. We got to keep you in fear, keep you on lockdown. You know what I'm saying? So the media tells stories to fit that narrative. You know what I mean? Even when Trump was getting in office, everybody's like, oh, Trump getting in office, big bad Trump. You know, black people, quote unquote, was scared that he was going to be in office and what he going to do and this and that. You know what I'm saying? So that's all part of the game, is to keep you on lockdown.
What happened to all that noise? He was talking about sending the National Guard or whatnot in Chicago.
Exactly.
Did all that woofing off, all that talking, ain't do nothing.
Yeah, yeah, that is true. But they, I was going to say they.
He did say that wasn't going to happen anyway.
Who, Trump said it wasn't going to happen?
No, you, Mufasa.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I see. I mean, there's some agents in there, but they ain't make no big announcement like, yeah, the National Guard, because to be told, crime is down. Like, you know, violent crime is down. There may be some other crimes and stuff going up, but like in the 90s, in the late 80s and mid 90s, that's when the height was. It's down from that. You know what I'm saying? So they having a hard time. They going to have a hard time trying to justify sending them in there like that. Because, like I say, people reporting there's a lot going on in meets the eye in Chicago. So, but he probably going to get around to it. Trust me, they can manufacture some violence.
I mean,
what
has he done? He didn't do nothing about that. He said he was building this wall. Where the wall is, they started on it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He trying his best to appear to Obamacare. He ain't been able to do
that. Did that. Yeah, that's a done deal.
He ain't done nothing. The only thing he has succeeded at is running off at the mouth.
Right.
His big accomplishment is having a war words with the Prime Minister of North Korea. You know, and talking crazy, talking crazy about football players, calling them SOBs. So all he really succeeded is running off at the mouth. I ain't seen nothing. I ain't seen him accomplish nothing since he's been in office.
Yeah, I agree. He's done very little. He did more tweeting than actually policies and stuff. But one thing he did do is that immigration bill. He got that passed for a little bit, and them ICE agents was rounding up folks and getting them up out of here. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, other than that, he hasn't done much, but he's done a lot at the same time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He ain't done nothing, but he's done a lot.
He done a lot of stirring shit up. That's what all he
exactly.
Did.
He stirred a lot of
stuff up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a mess.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. But like I say, I like it. I like to know my enemy's thinking.
He is entertaining. I tell you that. That's what I was telling people when he got in. I said one thing for sure: he gonna be entertaining.
Right. He's a celebrity president.
And he's definitely good for the entertainment.
He's a celebrity president.
Calling another president Rocket Man.
Right, little Rocket Man.
This dude is something else, man. He off the chain.
Yeah,
off the chain.
Mm-hmm. He playing. He need to realize what he's doing. I don't think he thought president was gonna be this difficult. You know what I'm saying? I think he ended up struggling for real. And to save face, he just trying to talk tough and act bad. But
you think he crying
at night? I think deep down he's scared. Yeah.
You think he cry at night?
Deep down. Yeah. He don't know what he's doing. I wouldn't go that far, but I think deep down he's going to save face, though. You know what I mean? He's going to never admit it. He's going to always, you know, have a tough talk. But his wife, look at his wife. He, like, she just stuck. She just with him at this point. Like, she be looking like she can't stand the man. You know what I'm saying? So he probably is.
Did you guys see the video when he was saying, like, she wanted to be there so bad, and she was standing right next to him. He was giving a speech.
Wow.
And he was like, Melania wanted to be here. I really
his
wish
wife.
She could have been here. Yeah, she was standing right next to him.
Mm-hmm.
It's hilarious. I'm going to have to send it to you guys. I can't believe that I didn't send it already. It was so funny. I must have been laughing so hard that I didn't send it because it was very funny. Yeah, he did a speech, and he was just saying how she wished that she could have been there, and she looking like, I am here. and the way they did the video, they slowed it down, and, you know, of course, they did all kind of stuff with the video. It was hilarious.
I can see that. That's funny. Yeah, she on video slapping his hand away. He trying to grab her hand. She's slapping his hand away. It's all type of mess. So he's definitely feeling it. And what he's gonna do, he's gonna hurt at the end of the day. I see him hurting his cause more than helping it. You know what I mean? Like, I think the white supremacists, his base, is really, they on their last leg. They know they losing power. You know what I mean? They're being exposed. But like Tanya say, before they think about giving up some power, that's not going to happen. They will try to blow the earth up before they do that. But the good thing, they cannot do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, they cannot do that. That's all the show. So we got like 5 minutes left to the live broadcast. This is Collective Minds Radio, y'all. This is Brother Kevin with Love Lachey and Mufasa Ra. Thank the callers for calling in. Thank all the supporters. We appreciate it. You know, I was just kind of going in. Y'all, I didn't want to wrap up. Now, you know, I know y'all may want to get another comment in about. We'll just end on this. Let me ask y'all, what do y'all see coming down the pipe or as far as the next 3 years in this Trump administration? What do y'all foresee coming down the road?
Yeah. All right. That's it.
Well, can y'all recall any movie that displays any type of dysfunction in the world, where you see protesting here, protesting there, you see trash cans with fire coming out of it, people and chaos, ain't nobody organized,
right.
People just want to, yeah. That's what I see.
Right. Yeah, it's been a lot of them movies too.
Yeah, I mean, because it's really a lot of it is definitely is heading in that direction ever since the Ferguson situation. It's been heading in that direction, and it seems to be getting worse and worse. You can see protesting going on in a lot of different places. And I think it's going to become more and more, especially as long as Trump is in office, because I think that's part of the energy that he brings. They feel like, okay, we're going to protest. And now that we had that mass protest with the Ferguson thing, it's like, okay, it gives more and more people different ideas. It's a snowball effect. It's happening. And I can see in the next 3 years of him being in office is getting worse and becoming more of that, more chaotic, because that's his energy. His energy is he's not operating with conscious thinking. He's sporadic and unconscious of the things that he do. He just too sporadic. To me, him as an individual, his spirit energy is chaotic. So that's the energy that he's bringing up on this country. And I think that's why it's going so crazy. He's doing sporadic things happening and people acting sporadic. He's provoking people to become that monster. You know, he provokes situations and energy to become like just do or die shoot. We just protest knowing, you know, it's like, that's how I see it, basically. I can go on and on, but I know we don't have much time, but that's how I see it happening.
Okay.
I'm
going to go fast. I think we got a minute.
I see impeachment.
Oh, wow.
I'm going for the wild card. I see impeachment.
That'd be awesome.
Wow, yeah, that'd be interesting, that impeachment.
Well, why haven't they done it so far? I mean, weren't they waiting on the first bomb to come over here?
Right, well, this is what I did hear, but, yeah, I did hear they say November 4th, Antifa, they plan on, I guess, going to D.C. and throwing Trump out of the White House. This is supposed to be this November 4th. I guess they're doing a mass rally, but it's supposed to be to overthrow Trump. So, you know, it was just something, you know. Yeah.
Well, I think he got on peeing people off.
Right.
He's going to keep on peeing people off, and he's going to upset enough people where the impeachment processes will start. That's my prediction.
All right, that's real. No doubt. Well, we got the predictions. Yep, Collective Minds Radio. Check us out every Sunday. We will be here. We appreciate, again, our support. We appreciate the callers. And we about to check out next week.
Find us on Facebook.
Find us on Facebook, social media. And this is Collective Minds. Peace. Do they know?
Okay. 6 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Right.